In the chaos and distractions of everyday life, it's easy to feel disconnected, distant from God, from the people we love, and even from our own hearts. Yet deep within, we know there's something more, something greater. We are called to be reconciled. Welcome to Be Reconciled with Father Paul Bakke, a space for honest conversations about faith, relationships, and finding our way back to true connection. As Saint Isaac the Syrian reminds us, be reconciled with yourself, and heaven and earth will be reconciled with you. When we make peace within, we open the door for healing in every part of our lives. And we hold on to this truth from 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So wherever you are in your journey, we invite you to tune in, reflect, challenge yourself, and take one step closer to the connection you were made for. It all begins with a simple step: to be reconciled.
In the name of the Father, and
the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Hello, everyone. A new episode of Be Reconciled. I'm very happy to see you again, and thank you, Mark, for being there. It's my honor and blessing to be with everyone here, and as usual, we will speak about something, a small topic spiritually, that I want to share with you is the division of the heart, when our hearts is divided. Divided between the love of God and the love of money, divided between whom should I please? Should I please mom and dad, spouse, kids, people around me? Or should I please God? Divided between evil and good, divided between different directions in life. And St. Mary, where we are going to celebrate the fast of St. Mary very soon, she was an example of an undivided heart. It didn't take her much to realize where she's going when the archangel Gabriel appeared to her and told her about the annunciation, the birth of Christ from her. And she, just within a few seconds, I am the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your will. It didn't take her much, because the heart is united, is not divided between two wills, my will and the will of God, or my mindset and the mindset of the Lord, or love of money and the love of God, or whom should I please in my life. So the heart is united. And when our hearts are united, this is a sign that we have reconciled with ourselves. A sign that we did not yet reconcile with yourself is that the heart is being torn apart. Each piece is in one direction, and it is very hard to recollect it. There is a beautiful Bible verse in the book of Psalms, Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your ways, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Show me your way. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Give me an undivided heart, that my heart is not divided, so I will fear your name. I will be able to honor you, reverence you, fear you, and love you with all my heart. And the Lord is asking you and is asking us, my son, give me your heart, the 100% of the heart. Not 50, not 60, not 70, not 99%. The whole heart. So what does it mean, give me an undivided heart? Or how to reach this? It says, give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. So sometimes the fear of God will help me, or will help my heart to be united together. I will give you an example. One day I was crossing, making a left turn, and I realized that I need to make a U-turn. Then there was a sign, clearly no U-turn, and I was rushed. And then I made the decision of I will make a U-turn because I'm rushed. And once I'm doing the U-turn, I with the side of my eye, I saw the police officer car. Once I saw the police officer car, I made a left turn, and and I didn't do the U-turn. I'm just giving an example of when my heart was divided between what is right according to the DMV rules and what is wrong. So I did, my heart was deciding the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So the decision was I'm going to break the rule and make the U-turn.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw the police officer, I changed my mind and made the left turn. So here, the presence of the police officer as an authority in my mind made me change the decision, made my heart not be divided between the right and the wrong. So far it be from the example, but I'm just giving a simple example to make us relate, because the David in Psalm 86 is telling God, give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. So when I fear the name of God, so I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to steal, and my mind starts spinning. Should I do it? Should I not do it? Then, when I remember the fear of God, and when I remember the judgment day, when I remember that I'm going to stand in front of God to give account on all the things that I'm doing, when I remember that all my deeds will be exposed, then I say, you know what? Don't do it.
Do the right thing.
So do the right thing. And this is the unique beauty of the scripture, that you think that the fear of God, the fear of God is scary, the fear of God is going to disturb me, or is going to make me anxious. No, David told him, give me an undivided heart so as I will fear your name. So when I fear the name of the Lord, then my heart will be undivided, will be united, because all the heart is focusing on pleasing God. So one of the things that we need to be self-aware is this concept of the divided heart. If you see a lot of struggle, a lot of tension within, a lot of confusion, pause and say, you know what, maybe my heart is divided. Maybe I need to return back to this psalm and tell God, give me an undivided heart so as I will fear your name. The heart can be also divided between the love of money and the love of God. And many situations you find this is playing a role in the decision making. And one of the things that when you see yourself tempted by the love of money, give more as much as you can, because the love of money I want to take.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessed with what I want. So when I'm tempted with the love of money, give more. Give God more. Give the people around you more. Give the church more. Give to the poor more. And by this, you will be able to overcome this division between the love of money and the love of God. There was a guy who was struggling between doing good things and bad things. He kept struggling for a long time. He went to an old wise man and he asked him, I don't know what's going on. I feel like I have two wolves inside of me. One wants to do the good and one wants to do the bad and the evil. And I'm torn from within. I don't know what to do. So the old wise man kept listening, and told him, in this situation that you just said about the two wolves, if they are very strong and they have the same exact power and they are in front of each other and they are fighting, who will win? And the younger man is saying, I have no clue who will win. And the wise old man told him, the one whom you feed more. The one you feed more will win because he will be more stronger. So if I am having this struggle between my will and the will of God, so feed more obedience to the will of God. Feed more obedience. Listen to the commandment of God. Hold fast to the commandment of God and tell Him, God, I cannot do this Bible verse is very hard to manage or to do. Give me strength so as I will obey your commandments. Less of me, more of you. Mm. Less of me, more of you. One of my favorite prayers. I heard it from a righteous woman. She told me, Abuna, this is my prayer. So I told her, what is your prayer? And she told me, every day I'm telling God, more of you, less of me. More of you, more of your will, less of my will. More of your mind, less of my mind. More of your ways, less of my ways. More of your desires and your passion and the salvation of people, less of what I want and my own will. I hope that this can be like our prayer too. More of you, O Lord, and less of me. So as when I pray this prayer, I will be able to have a unified heart. The heart is not divided. So first think how to, or the three things, how to have an undivided heart. Number one, remember the fear of God. Because when I remember the fear of God, then my heart is is doing the right thing. Number two is feed the good part more, like the story of the two wells. Feed it more. Feed the love of God more. Feed the will of God more. Feed the love of... give so as you are combating the love of money, for example, in our hearts. And last but not least is more of you, O Lord, less of me. More of your will, less of my will. And this is exactly the life of St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist, when in the Gospel of St. John chapter 3, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. That the will of God will increase, that the love of God will increase, that the time with God will increase, that our passion, our service, our commitment to the Lord will increase. So as all the other things opposite to this will decrease, and we will be reaching or coming closer to the what St. Paul said, reaching the fullness of Christ, which is something, wow, fullness of Christ, this is very, very far from every one of us. But at least it is little by little the path. So I hope that you will consider this idea of the divided heart and learn from St. Mary. It didn't take her a fraction of a second to make the decision to go to Elizabeth to serve her. Once she knew that she is pregnant, it doesn't take much time because the heart is, there is no struggle. Mm-hmm. It is all going in the direction of the will of God. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. As usual, we'll take some of the questions. And mm-hmm. Thank you, Mark, for being here. And
of course.
Appreciate your time.
Okay. Please explain what it means to be a submissive wife, as the Bible commands them to be. How does that mean we follow our husbands blindly? What if we don't agree with them or want to be involved in big decisions of big steps in life? An example, purchasing a house together.
Okay, this is a good question. So the scripture did not say that the wives are submissive wives. The scripture said, wives, submit to your husband. Husband, love your wife. And it came in different translation, respect your husband. So a submissive wife is a wife that doesn't have her own will, and she is just in full submission to whatever her husband is saying. This gives the message that the husband is higher than the wife. Mm-hmm. And they are not equal. This is opposite to what the scripture is saying and what the fathers of the church are saying. Now, for example, in 1 Corinthians, this is a very easy reference. So 1 Corinthians 11:11. So 11:11:11 is equal to 11.
Mm-hmm.
and they are the same. And this is the scripture. Nevertheless, neither the man is independent or less of the woman, nor the woman is independent or less of the man in the Lord. So they are all equal. Mm-hmm. So the idea that the man is higher than the woman, this is unbiblical. A proof of this, what St. John Chrysostom said. Why did the Lord created Eve from the side, from the rib of Adam? He didn't create her from the head, mm-hmm. but he did create her from the leg. Right. If the woman was less than the man, he would have created her from her leg, from the leg of Adam. If the woman is higher than Adam, or the man, he would have created her from his head. But she is equal to him. That's why he created her from his ribs as a physical proof of the equality, or they are of the same level in the eyes of the Lord. That's why the scripture is, this Bible verse is easy to remember. Anyone? So 1 Corinthians 11:11. It says, nevertheless, neither is a man independent of the woman, nor woman independent of a man in the Lord, or less than the woman, or less the woman is less than the man. They are all equal. So in this mindset, God is giving different responsibilities to the man and the woman. Yes, they are equal. Yes, God is looking to them in the same rank, but he's giving the responsibility of the love to the man. Mm-hmm. He's giving the responsibility of the respect to the woman. It's not that the woman will be submissive and will never have any say in anything. Decisions. In the sacrament of marriage, so first, the scripture is saying they are equal. Second, St. John Chrysostom is saying from the rib, not from the head, not from the foot. So they are also equal. And in the book of Ephesians, in the gospel, in the book of Ephesians, it says this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, and also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Husbands, love your wives as just Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Each one is having different responsibilities. The man is having the responsibility, and the commandment is the love. The woman is the respect / to submit. One day I was in a visit, and the guy was on fire. He's telling me, the scripture is saying, he doesn't read the Bible at all. He doesn't know anything about it. This is the only Bible verse that he remembers, or he knows. The husband is the head of the wife. The husband is the head of the wife. So I smiled and I told him, yes, this is what the scripture, do you know where is it? And he told me, I don't know. It is in the book of Ephesians. It's okay, no problem. We don't recall all the Bible verses. But do you have your Bible? Can we open the Bible and just read this part of the scripture? He said, okay. The husband is the head of the wife. This is Ephesians 5, verse 23. So if you go, verse 21, two Bible verses before, mm-hmm. submitting to one another in the fear of God. The message is for the husband and the wife, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And this is what the sacrament, the image that the sacrament of matrimony and in the church. If you recall, in the wedding before they leave, before we announce that they are married, they kneel down in front of the altar, the husband and the wife, and their heads is not like this stiff. The head of the husband is leaning towards the head of the wife, and the head of the wife is leaning mm-hmm. towards the head of the husband, and both of them are having the crowns, and sometimes the crowns get entangled. And both of them are leaning their heads. I'm leaning my will to yours, and she is leaning her will to mine. And both of them are kneeling down in front of the Lord, in front of the altar. And this is exactly verse 21. Submitting to one another, So the submission is that I submit to you and you submit to me, to one another, in the fear of God, because we are both submitting to the will of God before my will or her or his will. So back to the same question is, the husband and the wife are in the same level, in the same rank in the eyes of God. From the biblical perspective, from the creation story, from what St. John Chrysostom said, from what the church is teaching us in the sacrament of the matrimony. And we read this part in the sacrament. We say submitting to one another in the fear of God. So I asked him, what about verse 21? He said, I don't know. So what does it say? No. It says, it's Abuna, it says the husband is the head of the wife. Okay, I'm not disagreeing with you, but just go back to Bible verses. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit your own husband as to the Lord. The whole thing is in the spirit of love and in the spirit of obedience to the commandment of God and in the spirit of humility. I am submitting to her, she is submitting to me, and we both are submitting to the will of God. It's not, it's my decision, and I am the one who is deciding. So what I always tell the people, forget about your will and forget about the will of others. Always think, what is the will of God? Even in decision like a home purchase, but did you put it in your prayers? Did you discuss how can we afford? Can we not afford? How this is going to affect our life, our finances, our church, and our kids and schools? There is many stuff that is being discussed in just a decision of which house we are going to buy, but in the spirit of humility in both. The spirit of the love of God to both, the spirit of obedience to the commandment of God, things will be way easier. I hope that this is an answer for this beautiful question.
Yeah, no, that was a great explanation. How can we drown out the noises and hear what God's answers to our prayers are? I used to hear him so clearly, and now I can't seem to figure out what he's saying anytime I open my Bible.
This is a beautiful question. Not being able to recognize the voice of God. Few reasons, and I think when we discuss the reasons or why this is happening, we can find the solution. One of the reasons is a lot of distraction. Lots of distraction. I'm studying the Bible and I'm over the phone and I'm driving and I'm listening to someone and I'm texting other person and I'm responding to an email and I'm leaving a voice note to another person. So all this distraction is very hard. It's very hard that we will be able to respond or listen to the voice of God. I always tell the people, think that you are in a huge party and there is a lot of noise of music and the phone is ringing. Oh, who is this? Just give me 1 hour. I will call you back. and the other person is yelling, and you are yelling, and no one. So, if you are distracted, you need to slow down. You will never be able to listen to the voice of God in the distraction, in the chaos, in the lack of peace and commitment to slow down, to quiet our hearts and to put our hearts to rest in the presence of God, so as we'll be able to listen to the command, to the voice of God. Another thing is sin. Sin clouds the mind. And when I'm obsessed, it says in the book of Proverbs that the one who falls in adultery with a woman is mindless. The one who falls in adultery with a woman is mindless. It doesn't have his mind. He lost his mind for a while. Because sin clouds the mind and it takes away the ability, the clarity in the mind. There is always, look, in order to listen to the voice of God, you need to have clarity in the mind and you need to have peace in the heart. And sin will destroy the clarity and will destroy the peace. Because it said this clearly, no peace, says the Lord, for the evil people. He said this. There is no peace for the evil ones. So by default, when I am not living a life of repentance and I'm away from, sin is a block between, a separation between me and God. So the separation works also in the voice. I cannot mm-hmm. listen to his voice. Third, so first is the lots of distraction. So remove the distraction, dedicate good time for reading. Second is the sin, life, continuous life of repentance and confession helps us to recognize the voice of God very easily. Third is our beloved current Pope, Amba Todros, was mentioning this in one of the sermons recently. He said, try after praying just silence. So we're always thinking, I need to lay suni mass, othi osu opati urupanto kraturpane. I want to run or go through the prayers as much as we can. And when we finish, and glory be to God forever. Amen. And we jump to the next thing. And our Pope is saying, just for a few moments, just don't speak, don't say anything. Just be in the presence of God for a few moments. Just being in the presence of God in complete silence. That you are not distracted, you are not thinking of anything, you are not singing, you are not saying, just complete silence. And in the spirit of seeking the will of God, you will be able to, that God will reveal to you his will. So first, remove the distraction. Second, live a life of repentance. Third, stand still after silence. Prayer in complete silence. And plead with God and tell him, you know what, just reveal to me your will. Fourth option is taking guidance. Sometimes maybe I'm reading in the scripture, I want to listen to the voice of God, but I can go and ask my father of confession, my spiritual father, Abuna, this is what is going on, what do you think, am I on the right path, is this is making sense? And through the guidance, we get also listen to the voice of God. Last but not least is prayer before making decisions. This is one of my favorite prayers. Mm-hmm. Saved me many times in my life, literally many times. This prayer is a beautiful prayer. When we are in this beautiful spirit of the church, kneeling down in front of God, asking God, I will read the prayer because it's beautiful. Lord, you are aware that I do not know what is good for me. And now that I am about to start making this decision in my life, how can I know if it is right unless you guide me with your grace? Oh Lord, I beseech your guidance in this matter. I seek your guidance. Do not let me follow my tendencies if it will cause me to be confused and fall. Keep me from slipping. Help me and let it be according to your will. If you see that this decision or this thing that I have in my mind fit, grant me your blessings to complete it. If not, remove this desire from my heart. You know all things. Nothing is concealed from you. Lord, I am your servant. Deal with me as you see fit, as I realize that I will neither have success nor peace in my life unless I submit my will to your will. Teach me to say in every occasion, let it be according to your will, Lord, and not according to my own. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So those five steps: remove the distraction, life of repentance, complete silence after the prayer,
guidance,
taking guidance and asking for guidance from people who are spiritual around me, my father of confession, my spiritual, and last but not least is this beautiful prayer before, it is the end of the Agbaya prayer or the Book of Hours.
How to steward a crush. Oftentimes, when I get a crush, I feel that it takes an emotional toll on me. I begin to get jealous of how they interact with others, looking to see if they saw or liked what I had posted. It has become exhausting, and I begin to get annoyed at myself or try to get rid of the crush. But once I see them, the feeling comes back. This is the first time I really tried to pray for my crush, but I still have the same issues popping up with the over obsession. What can I do?
I love the question. It's very very unique question. What to do? How to control the crush? look, it's good that you are honest with yourself, that this is how you feel, this is what is going through in your mind. I think so much focusing on the person cause the it leads to a state of obsession. I'm focused so much. If I have a small piece of rice and I put it on the table, the rice is just a small, just rice. But if I took the rice and I put it under the microscope, it would be humongous.
Much bigger, yeah.
It would be humongous. So if I focus on the person so much and following them and counting their posts and almost chasing them, so my mind is obsessed with the person, so I will never be able to overcome. But the beauty is, it is in the hands of the Lord. There is a beautiful Bible verse said by St. John the Baptist. He said this: no one can take anything unless it has been given to him from heaven. No one can take anything. No one will be, sorry to say, you will not be able to be in a relationship with your crush unless it has been given to you from heaven. No one will be given anything unless it has been given to him / her from heaven. So this faith that if this is from God, God will make it happen. If it is not from God, then it will fade away. So first, continue praying. Second, don't think so much about the person. I mean, keep the piece of rice keep it small, and okay, fine, if it happened, but zooming in, taking the rice and putting it on the microscope, it take over our mind, and now the obsession is so much. And third is knowing that if it is the will of God, it will happen. If it is not the will of God, then give me, O Lord, to accept your will and move on with my life. Last is keep yourself busy. Sometimes when I'm free and I'm going through those thoughts, it really haunts us or have a toll on us. But when we are busy, you are involved in school, having activity, or so again, keep yourself busy. Keep yourself busy. The more you are busy, the more your mind is not so much obsessed with the idea. So continue praying. Do not so much focus on the issue. Keep it small. Know that everything is in the hands of God. If it is the will of God, it will happen. If it is not, no big deal. And last but not least, keep yourself busy.